We get to, as I have mentioned, honor and celebrate and recognize 13 seniors this morning, and we're going to bring them up on stage momentarily. So thankful to get to do that. Each year that I do this, I think it's going to get somewhat easier to get through without too much of an emotional roller coaster. But each year it actually gets more difficult to say goodbye to our seniors, especially once we get to August. I'm sure there are a few reasons for this. One, naturally, I am closer to each succeeding class as I have had the opportunity to spend more time around them. These seniors were finishing their sophomore year 2 years ago when me and my family arrived. It's been a wonderful 2 years to get to be with them, to get to teach, and just be around them as their student minister. The other reason is that I realize every year that I'm 1 year closer to having to go through what these senior parents are going through myself. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for the empty seat at the table. Parents, I realize it already, and I know the truth that you know all too well, that it is going by way too fast. To this year's senior parents, the time has come. So much has been accomplished, and you, Mom and Dad, have played such a huge part in all of it. To the seniors, I know you are ready. Counting down the days, you know exactly how many more times you have to wake up and walk those halls. I am sure of it. College awaits, and excitement floods your mind with the anticipation of what is on the other side of graduation. But to both of you, seniors and your parents, enjoy these next few weeks and months. There is a lot to be remembered. There is a lot to be celebrated. There is a lot of joy to be had. And so today we want to honor and celebrate the journey so far and pray over the one that is to come. 13 seniors in this year's class are about to join me on stage for us to recognize and celebrate the last 4 years of their life. May each of us here today commit to praying for the next 4 years and beyond. But today, let us honor these seniors and what they have achieved. At this time, I'm going to invite all of our shepherds who are here this morning and Mackenzie to join me on stage. In just a moment, I'll ask each senior to come to the stage and receive a gift, joining the rest of us up here for a time of prayer. As I announce each senior's name, parents, if you would, please stand where you are so that we can recognize you as well. To the Hendersonville Church of Christ, these are the seniors who are graduating as the class of 2019. And if you would, please hold your applause to the end. You can come and join me. Graduating from Station Camp High School, Mr. Braxton Anderson, son of Brad and Kathy Anderson. Graduating from Station Camp High School, Miss Lauren Brimingham, daughter of Tony and Jana Brimingham. I almost said Tona. I did say Tona. Graduating from Station Camp High School, Miss Meredith Brinkley, daughter of Ken and Mallory Brinkley, and granddaughter of Jerry and Marina Robinson. Graduating from Station Camp High School, Miss Macy Carter, daughter of Chuck and Dana Carter. Graduating from Hendersonville High School, Miss Katie Dickens, daughter of Stephen and Tori Dickens. Graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Miss Abby Holdren, daughter of David and Melissa Holdren, granddaughter of Gloria Ali. Graduating from Merrill Hyde Magnet School, Miss Haley Lewis, daughter of Keith and Angela Lewis. graduating from Station Camp High School, Miss Maddie Lyons, daughter of Stephen and Annette Lyons, granddaughter of Earl and Jeannie Bishop. Graduating from Hendersonville High School, Mr. Jacob Ray, son of Andy Ray and grandson of Paula Ray. Also graduating from Hendersonville High School, Ms. Carmen Robinson, daughter of Wayne and Teresa Robinson, and granddaughter to Jerry and Marina Robinson. Graduating from Merrill Hyde Magnet School, Ms. Sloan Samirka, daughter of Stephen and Nicole Samirka, and granddaughter of Buddy and Pat Tidwell. Graduating from Beach High School, Ms. Carly Spurlick, daughter of David and Michelle Spurlick. Last but not least, graduating from Hendersonville High School, Mr. Eli White, son of Nathan and Debbie White. Congratulations to the senior class of 2019. In just a second, we've asked Carl Wagnon to pray over this class of seniors. But before I do, I would like to ask anyone here this morning, this includes parents who just stood, who has helped this class in any way, whether it's teaching, coaching, babysitting, changing a diaper, whatever it is that you've done to help these seniors succeed, if you would please stand. Seniors, take a look around. It's a lot of people. There's a village of people who have helped get you to the point that you are at. They have led you to the hands and feet of Jesus. They've helped to mold you, shape you. They've been a rock for you. They've allowed God to use them to help make you who you are today. Seniors, how about you give them a round of applause and thank them for what they have done for you. Carl, if you would please pray for this class of seniors.
Will you bow with me, please? Our gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, you have bestowed so many blessings upon us, Father, but one of the greatest gifts that you gave us was our children. Father, to see them come into this world, to go through the stages of growing up, to Father, to where they are right now, these 13 seniors standing up here ready to go out into the world. Father, I pray that they never forget that you're there with them always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for comfort, for guidance, for direction. Father, I also pray that these students never forget that their parents are always there for them. Even though physically separated, they're there for them just in a matter of a phone call or a text or a visit, Father, and that bond grows stronger. Father, I'd like to lift up to you this morning Braxton and Lauren, Meredith, Macy, Katie, Abby, Haley, Maddie, Jacob, Carmen, Carly, Eli, and Sloan, Father, that wherever their journeys take them, that they find a good church, a good group to grow with, Father, from now till they get to the same age as we are as adults. Father, I also want to say a special prayer for the parents, whether this is the first child or the middle child or the youngest. It's very difficult to let our child go into the world and become adults. Father, I pray you be with them, you give them the strength, you comfort them, and always, Father, they're there for their child no matter what. Father, bless this church as you have. We love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
What a great morning it has been. I want to thank all of the men who have participated in this morning's worship. As Blake said, they are all, with the exception of myself and Blake, they have all been fathers of seniors in this year's class here at Hendersonville. I appreciate Nathan White and Keith Lewis, especially for reading our scriptures this morning, both passages of which will lead us in our time together. Nathan reading from Psalm 18 earlier, and Keith just now from Isaiah 40 just a few minutes ago. Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who wait for the Lord, they will renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord, that is going to be the theme of our morning. As you probably have seen in the bulletin, the title for us today is, I Can't Wait. I would be willing to bet that most everyone in here, if not every single one of us in here today, has uttered this phrase at some point in their lives. I can't wait. I can't wait. Maybe you've even shortened it to two words. Can't wait. We've all said it. It's a phrase that we've all used hundreds, maybe even for the super impatient, thousands of times over our lifetime. But even so, it is a phrase likely used more by those who are younger. Who knows? Maybe with wisdom, maybe with more life experience, comes the ability to wait longer. But children everywhere will, without a doubt, say every year things like, I can't wait for Christmas. Or maybe, I can't wait for my birthday. And in a somewhat understandable way, it makes sense. A five-year-old waiting for Christmas or for their birthday has to wait one-fifth of his or her life to get to the next Christmas morning or to turn another year older. No wonder it seems so long, right? One-fifth of their life? I myself would have to wait nearly 7 years to wait one-fifth of my life. John Micah, a new young grandfather, would have to wait nearly 7 years to equal his one-fifth mark. Blake, 10 years less. We're not even going to talk about that. This would be a long time, just say that. But children of all ages say to us, I can't wait for summer, time of vacation and camp and all the fun and the sun. And if they're being honest, that time when they don't have to go to school anymore and learn, which is seemingly every single day of their life. It is certainly nice to have a break, isn't it? Yes. As we get closer and closer to this thing called graduation, high school seniors have all said these words, these three words, at least a few times. Am I right? And maybe not all of you, but I would guess some of you, and maybe even several of us here sitting today, have even said the phrase that makes every parent cringe. Embarrassingly, I said these words to my mom and dad, words that I wish that I could take back, words that I guess you might be able to imagine I'm about to say, but I can't wait to leave this house. Anybody said that? I did. I can't wait to leave this house. Or for those of you who have more respect for your parents, unlike I did, Maybe you've said, I can't wait to go to college. Seniors, it is exciting, and the day is quickly approaching. I am sure that you cannot wait, and rightly so. College is a blast. College is a lot of fun. It made up some of the best days of my life, and much like many others who are here today might tell you, college held many of the greatest memories and gave me some of my best friends in life. And it all came from the experience that I had myself in college. It is no doubt an incredible experience, and one that so many look forward to. And I'm sure that I'm describing all 13 of our seniors here today. And I want to say this specifically to the 13 of you. Hear me say this. College is great. It is a wonderful experience. But along with the experience comes some of life's greatest challenges as well. I'm not going to tell you about all of those today, but I want you to know that when you face them, because you will, I want you to know that you have an incredible family here in this city, right here in this church at Hendersonville, that is ready to help you walk through them in faith and in knowledge that the Lord is God in and of all things. Do not forget that. Just also be sure to call your mom, okay? Let her know every now and then that you are okay, and send them lots of pictures. Got it? Speaking of pictures, if this reminds me, I wanted to do this morning. This will just take a second. Let's seniors, y'all look right here. We're gonna take a selfie. Can everybody get in that? Awesome, fantastic. Sorry about that. Hey, this will just take 1 second of your time. I apologize. Please bear with me. All right, I think that sets it. There we go. All right, sorry about that. Some of you just said to yourselves, I can't wait for him to put that thing away. You see, smartphones are a wonderful thing, aren't they? Sometimes. How many smartphone users do we have here today? Let's see a show of hands. How many of y'all have a smartphone with you? It's a lot of people. A lot of smartphones in the house today. Man, it is incredible. It is incredible what you can do with these things, right? Would you have ever thought that we would have the capabilities that we have today at our fingertips, the power that we have with these devices? That picture that I just took with everybody, it is already available for you to see on the internet. I just did that. It is crazy what we can do with these phones. Side note, seniors, send the pictures to your mom. Don't make her find them on the internet. Send them to them. Because you can do that, really. It's incredible. But who remembers? Who remembers the day when we would take pictures and we wouldn't be able to see them until they were developed? Y'all remember that day? Anyone under the age of 20 likely has no idea what I'm talking about, so seniors, I apologize. But you see, children, back before smartphones, back before even the digital camera was invented, we had this stuff called film. 35-millimeter film is the way that we took pictures when I was a kid. Some of you in here probably even remember having to have your portrait painted if you wanted a family picture on your wall. But when I was a kid, this is how it was done. This was the stuff. 35-millimeter film was the way that we took pictures. And every 27 to 36 pictures, exposures as they were called back then, maybe they still are, I don't know, you'd have to take the roll of film out of your camera and put a new one in. And if you wanted to see what those pictures looked like, you would have to take your film and put it in an envelope that looks like this. You'd have to fill it out with an ink pen. Take an ink pen, and you write your names and your address and your telephone number that was likely a landline. And then you'd actually have to drive it to a Walgreens or a Walmart or a Kodak Film Center and then wait another 3 or 4 days before you could see what they looked like. You know, it was actually brilliant technology the day that they introduced 24-hour photo. I mean, can you imagine? Students, can you imagine having to wait for your pictures like that, to wait 3 to 4 days for your pictures to go through this developing process in the dark room at a Walgreens or a Walmart? How painful is that? How big of a pain is it to have to get in your car and take your pictures to get developed? I always remember going and picking up our pictures as a kid. And it never failed. You take the pictures out of the envelope, and there was always like 3 or 4, maybe more, that were messed up. Right? They didn't quite turn out the way that you thought. You envisioned that going better in your head. Maybe one was blurry or your mom had her finger over the lens. That happened to us all the time. It was horrible, though. I mean, how did y'all take pictures with toddlers back then? We have kids that mess up so many pictures. We would be wasting a lot of time and a lot of money on actual film if we were trying to take these pictures with our kids. I'm so thankful for smartphones because they can ruin a lot of pictures. It's like, no, Knox, look at the camera. We get to tell them that all the time. You see, when I was a kid, the closest thing that we had to smartphones was a Polaroid camera. And remember these? They're kind of coming back, a little bit different than they used to be. But this is an ancient relic, the one that you're looking at right here. They had a special kind of film that when you took the picture, you'd instantly have the photo in your hands. It was awesome. Now, instantly is a bit of a stretch, right? Because even then, you had to wait like 5 minutes or so for the picture to develop before you would be able to actually see your picture. And oftentimes, you kind of shake it like this, you remember? Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Thanks, Outcast. So still, you have to wait at least 5 minutes before you can see the image that you captured in this so-called instant Polaroid picture. Could you imagine having to take a picture on your phone and having to wait 5 minutes for it to come through before you could do anything with it? Maybe you're sharing it in a text. You're wanting to post it on Facebook. You know, Polaroid chat doesn't quite have the same appeal as Snapchat does it? Somehow I don't think Instagram would be as popular if we had to wait like this for our pictures to develop. I don't think our teens would use it. If you had to wait 5 minutes for your picture before you could post it on Instagram, I don't think you'd use it. I don't think you'd use your cameras. And that's because we live in a world now that demands instant gratification. Not only do we not like to wait, we know very little of even having to wait. Everything that is made for us is wait-proof. We know what we want, and we want it now. And generation after generation, as we continue to move into the future, we will become less and less patient as we develop more and more technology that is based on speed and instantaneous provision. It is no wonder that we can't wait. Again, we don't have to. We don't have to wait. So no, nobody on the face of the planet, myself certainly included, likes to wait. We don't like to wait. We don't want to wait. And we are going to complain 9 times, maybe 10 times out of 10, whenever we have to. We complain when we have to wait. Well, that's exactly what Israel was doing when Isaiah brought the word of the Lord, the words that Keith Lewis read moments ago from Isaiah 40. He read from verses 27 to 31 as we hear these words in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, why do you complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. When we enter a season of our lives in which we have to wait, who are we going to be? How are we going to respond? What will our faith look like? Today I want to look at the example of David and what it looked like for him to have to wait. Several years ago, I was at a conference and had the blessing of getting to hear some great teachers speak truth into the lives of everyone there. One of the greatest truths that I heard from that conference came from the lips of a Christian author and founder of an organization that fights against human trafficking. Her name is Christine Kane. What she said that day, I will never forget, and it really shapes a lot of what I'm sharing with you today. She said this: "We live in a snap and upload generation. And God's direction for us and his development of our purpose in life works much more like the development process of 35mm film in the darkroom. Our development works much more like the process of developing 35mm film than most all of the instant gratification processes that we expect every single day of our lives." David is a prime example of this truth. That's why I want to look at him today. So in 1 Samuel 16, we meet David for the very first time, starting in verse 10. It says this: "Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen any of these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'They're still the youngest,' Jesse answered, 'but he's tending sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.' So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.'" Rise and anoint him. This is the one, the Lord says. So God has a special purpose for David. He was to be the second king of Israel because Saul was disobedient and therefore rejected by the Lord. What we have just read is David's anointing as king. Theologians and scholars believe this to have happened anywhere between the ages of 10 and 17, likely on the lower side. So for the purpose of this morning, we're going to just go ahead and pick somewhere in there. So I'll select 14. 14 sounds good as the approximate age of David's anointing. So here we have David anointed at the age of 14. So now let's skip ahead several chapters to the next book even. 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting in verse 1, we read this: "All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler." So when all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years. So David was 30 years old when he became king of Judah, reigning 7 years, and then becoming king over all of Israel and Judah. This special purpose which God planned for David as king over all of Israel finally came to fruition, and he was appointed at the age of 37. Now, we have a lot of smart people in our church. I get that. Likely, I don't have to tell you how many years passed from David's anointing as a young boy to his appointing at the age of 37. But for those of you who don't have your calculators with you this morning, David's wait was 23 years. 23 years and maybe more from his anointing to his appointing. 23 years, and a lot happened in those 23 years. Some good, some bad, mostly bad, and a lot terrifying. 23 very trying years of David's life. He was, without a doubt, developed for his purpose, developed for his direction in the darkroom. We can do a simple skimming through the headings of 1 and 2 Samuel between these two major events of his life to see all the trials that David went through for his plan and purpose of which God was preparing him for. You see, the world that we live in, though, we would expect to be anointed and appointed all within the same time frame. So for David's story, it might look like this. David is anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16, which we read earlier. Then in chapter 17, he slays Goliath. And then chapter 18, he's immediately crowned king, overthrowing Saul and ruling over all of Israel immediately. That is closer to the expectation of the world that we live in today. But the sad thing is that it's not only those in the world, but even, yes, us here in the church. We too suffer from this instant gratification expectation. We really cannot wait. We have such a hard time waiting, and we have such a hard time with it because we have such small and finite understandings of who God is and how He works. And even though we will never understand the mind of God while on this side of heaven, we can live in and develop a faith that says, I don't need to understand. I don't need to understand. And allowing us to find a peace that only the Spirit can provide, a peace that comes from within, a peace that Paul mentions and talks about in Philippians 4, one that passes all understanding. We have a great church family here at Hendersonville, a lot of people from a lot of places with a lot of different stories. And if all of the stories of everybody in this church could be shared with one another, if we could sit together and listen to everybody share their stories, we would be amazed and perplexed in the amount of time that we have experienced in waiting. Maybe it is hard for young kids to wait for Christmas, but for young couples, how much harder is it to wait on God to provide you with a child so that your family can grow? For teenagers, it gets difficult to wait on summer every single year, but how much harder for those parents who are waiting for their sick children to be healed, spending night after night in unrest? For a 15-year-old, the anticipation is painfully slow, waiting for that day to come when you can finally get your license. How much harder is the pain of waiting through a struggling marriage? It's hard to wait on God to provide victory over dividing forces between husband and wife, whether you're a child or adult. Waiting, it seems so hard as a kid. But the waiting as we grow and develop becomes so much more trying, as I think you would all agree. Will we allow our waiting to help us in developing a response of trust in who God is and a faith that He will provide? For high school seniors, those of you here with us today, you have waited to go to college for so long now, and the good news is that the wait is almost over. Almost. It's maybe been even a difficult time of waiting for some of you. Waiting is never easy, not as a child or as a teen, but throughout life. Throughout life, we will continue to be called to wait upon the Lord for the development of our life's purpose, our direction, and even our provision. Everyone in here today would tell you, would advise you, that answers are rarely instant. Answers are rarely going to be instant. Overcoming the darkness of this world doesn't happen overnight. And we will spend many seasons of our lives in the dark room as part of our development process. But no matter how hard life gets, no matter how dark our past becomes, the Lord is still God, and He will never stop being God. As Isaiah reminds us, He is the everlasting God. He does not grow tired or weak. And those who wait on Him, those who trust in Him, those who put their hope in Him will find new strength. I want to close today in reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is actually the same passage which Nathan read today from Psalm 18, penned by David toward the end of his life. It says this starting in verse 25. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. As long as David had to wait, as many obstacles as he had to hurdle, God stayed by his side and David knew it. Again, these are words he penned near the end of his life, looking back on all the fire that God helped him to walk through, and it was a lot of fire. We are going to experience hardship in this life. Trials of many kinds will come our way. Jesus even warns us against it. And for some, they'll come more than others. But the challenge is to trust now in his provision in the midst of the waiting. But at the end of our life, the end of our time here on earth, every single one of us will be able to look back and realize not once did he leave us. Not once did God leave our side. Yes, it is certainly God who arms us with strength and keeps our way secure. He is the everlasting God. And so today, not just for our seniors, but for all of us, where are you? What does your trust look like? What is your hope in the waiting? Are you giving your life to him? Are you living your life for him? You need to be baptized. You need prayers. Whatever it is that you need, please come as we stand and sing.